You're about to listen to a talk given at the Center for Spiritual Living Midtown at the beautiful Academy of Medicine in Atlanta, Georgia. If you want more information on our center, please see our Facebook page or our website. Thanks for listening. I hope these words of wisdom make a positive difference in your life.
I am always connected. I am always connected. I am always connected. So do you guys know what my talk is today? I am always connected. So what I'm going to do, you know me, I like my props. Let me get this out here. We've got a pedestal. There's so many things we can place on this pedestal. We can put God there, but we don't put God there. We can put ourselves there. We don't put ourselves there. We don't put anything there. We do put one thing here on the pedestal, though. One thing. And we'll ooh and ah over it. We will put this on a pedestal. And we'll ooh and ah over that. This represents so much to so many people. You know, inside of this, there's so much freedom. Some people use it to get into their houses. Some people use it to get into the gym. I see them get on airplanes by just flashing this thing. They get on an airplane. Take off. With all the different axes that it has within it, it represents freedom. There's freedom right there. You know what else is in there? Money. Money's in that thing. You know, I just saw somebody at Starbucks this morning just wave it and they got coffee. Money's in there. It's amazing. I saw somebody else take a picture of it and their bank account got bigger just because they used it to take a picture of something. I can make a trade on Wall Street with that thing. And even old school business classes, I remember learning in sales, there's money in the phone. There's money in the phone. Why is there money in the phone? Pick it up and start using it. You're going to increase your value and everything. There's money in the phone. If you just pick it up and call people, you'll get some sales. Or even just let a client know that you care. So there's money in there. There's wisdom in that phone. I can't be sitting at dinner with my sister more than 1 minute before out pops the phone, and she's checking my facts of the story that I'm telling her. She's looking up the words of the definition that I'm using. So there's wisdom in there. You know what? There's music in there. If you hear a song and you don't know who sings it, you just hold it up like this, and it tells you who's singing. You hold it up to the stars it can see, and it will say you're looking at such and such a galaxy. It's amazing the wisdom that's in there. So, there's sex in there too, believe it or not. I can pull this thing up and go within 150 feet of me. Somebody's looking for a good time. It's amazing. Right here. There's sex right there. There's love in there. All my friends are in there. Family, spouse, they're all in there. There's health in there too. I've seen some people use it and do the heart rate, and somebody on the other side of the world is kind of reading what the heart rate's doing and can do a diagnosis on what's going on there. Jobs are in there, job opportunity. My spirituality is in there. Guess what? You get a note from CSL Midtown once a week, more than once a week, giving you something of a truth about you versus the rest of the world telling you the facts about you. There's spirituality in there. So we really feel connected with this thing. We feel connected to all that we are, body, mind, and spirit. But there's one catch. One catch. It needs to be within arm's length. Because guess what? If it's just moved outside of arm's length, something tremendous happens. Something tremendous happens. The closer it is, I feel more connected, but the minute, the second it's out of our arm's length that's happened, we feel disconnected. Where's the wisdom? Where's the love? Where's the creativity? Where's the sex? It's all there, and I'm separated from it. I'm no longer connected to it. So I went to dinner with a friend of mine just last week, and I know the routine. We better talk in the car while we're driving over there, because I know the minute that we sit down at dinner, I don't carry this around with me too much. For those of you that know me that are frustrated with me, April tries to call me. She knows I'm not carrying my cell phone. She knows I'm not going to answer it. I'm not one of those that it's connected at the hip. But I know most of my friends are, and so I know that we better talk in the car driving over there, because when we sit down to dinner, guess what happens? There it goes. I'm at dinner by myself, and I look around the restaurant, and there's a few of us are out there that were with the same date for dinner, that somebody else has the phone out, and the other one's just there by themselves, just kind of looking around the restaurant. So we make eye contact, because we know what's going on. So we get into the restaurant, we sit down, then the realization occurs to him. I forgot my cell phone. So at first he was okay with it. He announced he didn't need it. But as the time went on, at the end of 45 minutes, he confided he was having withdrawals, that it was actually very hard for him to be there without his phone. He was phone jonesing right there. Now, I know none of you have ever jonesed over your phone before, but he was. We even had to leave early. He felt disconnected. Why? His power was there in the phone, and he felt separated from it. Now, was he truly separated from his power? Not at all. But where do we put our power? Somewhere there. He felt separated. He had all that the phone had within him all the time, but he didn't feel it. He thought, that's where my power now is. His wisdom was there, his love was there, his money was there, his job was there, his freedom was there. He felt separated. So that's one story. So another story I have, it moves a little bit further away. Instead of just 45 minutes, it moves 2.5 days away. 2.5 days. Now this story is back in the days, if you remember, where you were truly locked into your cellular contract, you were truly locked into your cellular phone, and so you're really there. A friend of mine was saying how his phone was dead. It wouldn't charge, it wouldn't work. He called the cell phone company and they assured him his phone worked and that it was fully connected. He tried to get the thing working, but 2.5 days goes by and he couldn't get the thing to work. Finally, he takes it down to a cellular store for them to check it out. And the owner of the cellular store says, "That's not your phone." And he was like, "Yes, it is. It's the phone that I've been using all the time." And he's sitting there saying, "It is my phone, and I blame you for it not working. I blame the cell company. I blame the cellular system. You at the desk, I blame you for it not working." And the guy at the counter saying, "It's just not your phone." He said, "Don't you know that a new one was delivered 2.5 days ago?" So he said, "I never got a new phone." And so he went and checked on the delivery. Sure enough, delivered 2.5 days ago to his house. He said he never received it. Delivery says, "Left at the front door." Well, guess what? He never used the front door. He always came in the garage door. So his cell phone was sitting there. He goes, leaves the store, goes home. It's sitting there on his front porch in the package. He opens it up. There's enough charge in there to see that it actually is working. So he was connected all the time. He just didn't know it. He'd been connected all the time. All of his ranting and raving for 2.5 days saying he wasn't connected. All the ranting about the phone company, everything out there was the fault of them out there. They had taken away his freedom. They had taken away his power. And he was connected all the time. And the third story I want to share with you this AM, the first story was not connected for 45 minutes. The second one was for 2.5 days. The third story, I'm really getting my phone really far away from me at this point. 2.5 years of separation. And this story is about our history, and it's about the Juneteenth celebration. Now, last week I was surprised. I asked how many of you had heard about the Juneteenth celebration. A lot of people raised your hand. How many of you have heard about the Juneteenth celebration? Good. More and more every year. I like seeing that. So it is a story about our history. The Juneteenth celebration occurs in June. It's actually June 19th. And this year marks the 150th anniversary of this celebration. Juneteenth is the oldest known celebration commemorating the ending of slavery in the United States. So dating back to 1865, it was June 19th that the Union soldiers led by Major General Gordon Granger landed in Galveston, Texas, with news that the war had ended and that the enslaved were now free. Note that that was 2.5 years after President Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation, which had become official on January 1st, 1863. January 1st, 1863. But the Emancipation Proclamation had little impact on Texas due to the minimal number of Union soldiers to enforce the new executive order. However, the surrender of General Lee in April of 1865 and the arrival of General Granger's regiment, the forces were finally strong enough to influence and overcome the resistance. So it was General Order Number 3 that was read by General Granger. And I want to read this to you because it's very historical. This is what was read just as he's getting off the boat and he stands up there, and this is General Order Number 3. The people of Texas are informed that in accordance with a proclamation from the Executive of the United States, all slaves are free. This involves an absolute equality of rights and rights of property between former masters and slaves, and the connection heretofore existing between them becomes that between employer and free laborer. Well, within that one reading of General Order Number 3 was there both fear going on in Galveston and jubilation at the same time. Literally, people just started leaving right then and there. Some of the workers that were there, some of the slaves, some of the masters, they were all leaving from there, and some people hung out to see what was going on. Others left right away because they said, you know what? I know I've got family in Louisiana. I know I've got family in Arkansas. I'm going to go find them. So they just left all that time. But that was June 19th, 1865. I only learned of the Juneteenth celebration a few years ago. This isn't so much in our history textbooks at all. I know I didn't learn this down in Dade County schools in Miami. But I learned about it at a church conference. And that conference was really trying to nail down the timeline of when are you free? When are you free? So it was interesting. Were those people free on June 19th when somebody showed up and said they were free? Were those people free back over here on April 9th when General Lee signed the surrender? Is that when they were free? In 1865? April 9th, 1865? Were they free on January 1st, 1863 when President Lincoln announced the Emancipation Proclamation? What of those dates were those people really free? Well, what if I told you they were free all the way back, of course, before they were born, but the day they were born? They were free that day. And it depends on what you call free. It wasn't until I was a minister that I learned a little bit more about slavery, and even in the midst of bondage did the slaves announce their freedom. They announced it in song, and when you hear these old spirituals in African American song, you can hear the song of freedom. And it's not so much the words, but it's what emanates from the soul when you hear these songs. It's not something that was given to them by the government or given them to them by the situation, but the freedom of the spirit. Now, one day I went to the Piccadilly over here on North Druid Hills, and there was a huge crowd inside the Piccadilly. And I was just walking, I don't know if you've been there, you walk along the wall and you can see the restaurant portion, and there was a huge celebration going on. And what it was a woman, an African-American woman, was turning 120 years old. So she was leading a spiritual. And it's sending chills down my spine just thinking about this, because it wasn't so much the words as I heard as it was this guttural chant. And it was just a guttural chant. And in that chant did I understand they're announcing freedom. In the midst of bondage, they're announcing freedom. So here she was born in 1895. That's just amazing, and she's out there leading that chant. We just finished a metaphysical Bible class and learned of the prophetic consciousness that each one of us has, but some of the greatest prophecy is written in Psalms. Those poems of freedom were written while the Jewish people were in slavery. That's when they were writing. They were singing songs of freedom while they were in slavery. They realized that these things that we're listing out here are not binding them, that there is a freedom no matter what situation you're in. So in the midst of slavery, they announced their freedom, they sang of it, they wrote poems of it, because that freedom of the spirit is always there. An example of freedom in U.S. slavery history was when it came to weddings, and I had to learn this the hard way. I was asked to do a wedding ceremony for a couple, and we found a place, and we went through all the rehearsal and everything, and then the couple said, and the maid of honor is going to bring out the broom. And I was like, let me be cool about this. I don't know what she's talking about. Oh yeah, the broom. But inside, a broom, I've never been in a wedding ceremony with a broom. And the maid of honor came out and explained that in the slavery days, so she brings out this broom, and being the maid of honor, she decorated the whole broom with ribbons, and she had all tied it up very nicely with all the ribbons and everything like that. And the maid of honor came out and explained that in the slavery days, even those of the slaves knew they were not allowed to be married, the slaves came up with a ritual of jumping the broom. So when they were there and they laid down the broom on the ground and a couple jumped over it, they knew that meant that couple is married. They couldn't say that to the masters because the masters forbid that. But they could do that. So in the midst of their slavery, were they still announcing their freedom of what it was that they wanted to do? Prisoners and slaves have announced their freedom for thousands of years in the midst of their apparent bondage. They announced their freedom. That's why I'm saying it doesn't matter what day you pick those where your freedom is. Your freedom is now, no matter what situation you're in. The level of freedom is always there from the guttural aspect of you, at the soul level of you. That level of freedom we are always connected to. Nelson Mandela sat in a cell 10 by 10. He announced his freedom sitting there in that cell, and I announced my freedom. Paul, put behind bars, announced his freedom. Not that Paul, but another Paul. Sitting behind bars was announcing his freedom. We, in the midst of anything that feels like it is binding us, when we feel we're in bondage, in the midst of the bondage, we must announce our freedom. We always have it, even though the circumstances and the situation say you're bound. We're always connected. We're always free. And some of you will come up to me and say, but David, the government was really oppressive. But I say to you, no matter what situation you're in that feels oppressive, you must announce your freedom. It's there. They announced their freedom. There no longer is slavery in the United States because they kept announcing their freedom. They kept announcing their freedom. The truth of us always wins out all the time. If you announce, I am oppressed, and it's all the government's fault, guess what? You're exactly correct. You get that. You get the oppression when you announce that. Or if you announce the government is oppressive, but I know I am free, you too are right by announcing your freedom in the midst of that. But forget all the oppression of the government. Smaller things than big government oppress us. You know what? We feel oppressed at work. It's our bosses that are oppressive, or the corporate rules that are oppressive. And sometimes you feel very disconnected and don't feel free. But guess what? You're very connected. You're always connected. I am always connected. There is never a separation between you and your freedom. I don't have to be an arm's length of that. It's right here. That's what I need to announce. The binding occurs in our relationships. It occurs in our bodies. Our financial systems all make us feel bound sometimes, but we need to know the power is not out there in the boss, nor in the power of the situation. The power is right here. It's right here in mind. We're the ones that need to understand that. You are always connected. You're always powerful. Imagine a radio station within you called KNOW. You're now listening to KNOW. It's broadcasting within you 24 hours a day. You are the tuner to this broadcasting station. If you set the tuner to the right frequency, you hear the broadcast and pick up vital information. If your tuner is set elsewhere, you're going to miss the message. If your tuner is set to your mind that has access to universal mind, this is where you're going to find all your wisdom. There you're going to find your abundance, your love, your health, your creativity. It's not in the phone. It's not anywhere else. It's here. With KNOW, broadcasting, right now. But if your tuner is set to the phone, that's where your power is. If your tuner is set to the government, That's where your power is. But you need to remember, you're always connected to K-N-O-W. We were born with the tuner set to K-N-O-W. Children and animals have their tuners well set. But as we become socialized, we are seduced away from K-N-O-W. Eventually, external generated signals drowned out the voice of K-N-O-W. Then those seducing signals tell us we are bound. Those signals tell us we have no power. Those signals tell us we are enslaved. However, deep within you, always, K-N-O-W is broadcasting. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. K-N-O-W is never out of reach. And it's no one else's fault if you feel you are not connected. You are always connected. You're always free. So it's a trick question when I was there in that class that I learned about the Juneteenth celebration. When were the folks free in Galveston? June 19th? April 9th? January 1st? Or before that? When are you free? When you get married or divorced, then I'll be free. When you have a healing from this body situation that I have, then I'll be free. When you get more money, then I'll be free. When you get a better job, then I'll be free. Or are you free right now? Are you free right now? It is right now. You're connected right now. So we just finished up with the metaphysical Bible class, and what we learned as well is something happened. The Church of Nicaea in 300 AD came up with all the rules of how it is that Christianity is supposed to be followed at this point from 300 on. And what they did is they put somebody on this pedestal with the initials of JC. JC. And so from 300 on, have we all been looking to the power that's in the pedestal or the thing that we have on the pedestal, whether it was the phone or JC? But the thing is, before 300 AD, JC was saying, it's not me, it's you. It's not me, the Father within me doeth the work. The K-N-O-W that is broadcasting within you, that's doing the work. That's giving all the signals. So what I share with you this morning is, always when you feel separated from your good, announce there is no separation. I don't need something like this for my power to come through. I don't need a third person intermediary to come through for me to get my power. Everything has always turned back and said, all the power is right here. Always when you feel separated from your good, announce there is no separation. You're always connected. And so this month, we celebrate the Juneteenth celebration. So yes, in announcing freedom 150 years ago, but we celebrate it in even a bigger way right now, knowing our freedom is ever greater than the government announcing our freedom. It is the freedom that we've always had. And it is wonderful, and so are you, and so it is. So we come together in this announcement of our freedom, that we're connected right here and right now. It is not something that comes at us at a later time or because our government says we're free. We are free this very single minute by our universal right. By just being here, we are free. So this announcement has already been given by the universe, and each one of us gets to take that in individually and announce what that freedom means for each one of us. For some of us, that freedom is very different in the way that we do our jobs. For some of us, that freedom is very different in the way that we love and how we love and who we love. That freedom is very different in how we treat our bodies, and that freedom is very different on what we call abundance or lack thereof. The freedom is given to us right here and right now. What we do is we step back from what the world says, how things should happen. Just how free can you be? We step away from that and know that there's a freedom at the guttural aspect of every single one of us. that's been there before we were born. It's there now, expressing itself through each one of us. But if our signal is tuned to what everyone else is saying or what the world is saying, we tune out that freedom and we don't realize just how free we are. It's up to every single one of us to step aside from all of that outward appearance and come into the inner knowingness. And know, K-N-O-W, within you. All the wisdom of the universe is within you. You don't need a phone for that. All the love of the universe you ever wanted is within you. It's not out there. Every job opportunity you ever wanted does not depend on somebody else making another decision on whether you have the job or not. It's up to you to announce to the world, I am that person. I have this value. I have this creativity. We announce that. And if we look to our bodies for perfect health, we're not going to see it. But when we look to our minds for perfect health, it's been there all the time. And so we look to our mind and understand we are the perfection of the universe expressing as our bodies. We turn to all those things. We feel so bound when we buy into everything else that's out there, but then there's freedom when we announce that we're connected to this universal mind, this universal power. There's freedom in our individual use of this universal mind, knowing that we are here expressing that universal mind beautifully, wonderfully, individually as each one of us. This is cause for thanksgiving. When we understand where our freedom is and where we get it from, this is cause for thanksgiving, for understanding that this is how this law works through each one of our lives, from the universal to the individual and expressing outwards into each one of our lives. We give great thanks for this and we release this word to law, knowing that as we walk out of these doors and we celebrate during this month of June, the Juneteenth celebration, we're announcing freedom and we're announcing freedom, but also true understand spiritually what you're announcing is the freedom that you already are, the freedom that you truly are. So whatever situations we come across from the day that we walk out of these doors, we can announce that we no longer feel bound. This is the truth for each one of us, and so it is.